Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the McInerney Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
Jesus, I feel you and all of your Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I feel you and all of your glory. I can get enough of you. I want to touch you.
Clap your hands for the Arise Choir. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for the privilege, for drawing us near, for gathering us, for giving us the opportunity to be workers in your vineyard, the opportunity to be called useful in your house. We bless your name. Let your spirit minister to us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May you please be seated. We've been talking about foundations, not so. Yes, I'm going to pray for a short while. I'm done. Talking about foundations, and last week I told you that when we start talking about foundations, you need to pay attention. Without it, nothing will work. Yeah, without it. And you know, I was just searching for the importance of a foundation to a house, and I stumbled upon a website. Let me read something to you. 5 reasons why your foundation is the most important part of your home or your building. I'm just sharing you something from. Number one, it says it supports the building. It supports the building. So your foundation will support your Christian life. That's what will support your ministry. As in, hold it up. In fact, he uses the expression, your foundation is what holds the building up. He said, its primary purpose is to hold your house up. Without it, your house would quickly sink into the ground unevenly, resulting in cracks and damage. That is why there are cracks and damage in your ministry. Many of your ministry is sinking. 2 years ago, you had 12 members. Now you have 5. When we say it, you say it's the area. You say it is because Sasabi people are not good. No, these days they like rituals. And even a fetish priest has come to Sasabi and he has a signboard. That's what has caused your numbers to go down. That's what you say. But what it really is your foundation that is sinking. Your house that is sinking, sorry. Because the foundation is not working. Yeah. It says, it resists movement. The foundation. I'm reading from my website, please. Just the website. Natural forces are always at work. Soil moisture levels frequently change. Temperature fluctuations impact the soil conditions. Tectonic plates move below, and water tables can be altered below your home at any time. If your house is not anchored to a foundation, it can crack, break apart, or even be washed away by the natural forces at work. Natural forces. Natural force of marriage. Yeah, so you see people who get married. In fact, the one I found surprisingly in recent years is men who get married and it causes them to backslide. You would have thought that it's women who have had a baby and the difficulty of combining. Now husbands marry and they also backslide. His wife has given birth. As his wife gave birth, it has also triggered his backsliding. And then you share him. It's wonderful, Bishop. Like the man, or not the woman. Or the woman, we can understand she has difficulty. She can't come to church for some months. And although, you know, when a woman gives birth, she can't come to church for a while. And it can affect her. But you, the man, your wife has given birth, you are backsliding. It's because there's no foundation. You can't withstand natural forces. Natural forces. Just natural. Natural childbirth. You can't withstand natural forces. When I saw the website, I was very happy. The third one, I said, it insulates your home. Yeah. The foundation. It insulates the home. Insulates the home. Another reason why the foundation is the most important part of your home is it can offer insulating properties to keep your home warm. That's for countries where it's cold. You are not insulated from anything in life because there's no foundation. Your life is not insulated from anything. Some of you, the evils you are suffering is sad. But next one, it keeps moisture out. It says moisture can quickly weaken and compromise your home structure. This moisture, in my mind, I will liken it to worldly influences. Yeah, worldly influences, which come in quietly and make the integrity of the building go down. Your walls become soft. They become, yeah, worldly influences. And when you don't have a foundation, it can't keep such things out. Then the fifth one, it says, it prevents insect infiltration. Demonic flies. When I saw that thing, I was very happy. It prevents insect infiltration. This is in the natural foundation. Prevents insect. See, so even in the Bible, as Jesus was giving that example, he must have had some technical knowledge on building. But he was a carpenter, so I'm not surprised. He really meant deep things. He really meant deep things by that example he gave in Luke. He meant very deep things. Uncle Francis, he was an engineer. He has it, yes. Yeah, you're right. It's coming from him, eh? Yeah. He had a deep knowledge of what he was saying. Deep knowledge. It prevents insect infiltration, evil and demonic flies. Some of us, the demonic flies in operation in our lives, is just sad. You can't even believe that we are Christians who have a God who is powerful. All manner of demonic flies are at work in our lives. It's not laying on of hands you need, though. It's a foundation. That's what you need. That's what you need. So last week, we talked about three foundations. The foundation of Jesus Christ, foundation of the Word of God, and the foundation of prayer. Foundation of prayer. And I want to ask you to really sit up and carefully craft your foundation with these three elements. Don't play with it. Don't play. Listen to me. If you play with it, you will pay for it. Don't joke with it. Yeah, you pay for it. Anything we do or don't do, we pay for it. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You will pay for it one day. You will pay for it one day. And because it's a foundation, you pay a very high price. I have a friend who's an architect. Said in his student days, he used to supervise projects for some small here and there. And one day a man came to him with a plan and said, I want you to build this plan. And he told the man that to convert these drawings to working drawings is more work for me. So let me design something for you from the scratch. It will be better. And the man said, no. It's okay. Then the man came back to me and said, okay, you, if you won't do the design, I just want you to be supervising or going to inspect the work once a week, every Saturday. Just go and look there. I'll pay you for that. He said, no problem. So he said one day he went to the site and the people were doing something with a very fundamental wall. So he called the man and said that what the people are doing is not correct. It will not work. The man said, oh, no. The contractor says that it will work. The contractor says it will work. Oh, no. He's been working with the contractor for a while. So my friend said that. He said, okay, fine. Me, I come, I look and I offer my advice and I collect my money. I'm going back to campus. He said he was there 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks later, he saw the contractor calling him frantically. When he picked the call, he said, the house is has cracked. There's a huge crack. They're afraid that the house will come down. Then he asked him that where. He said, where he was talking about. I said, okay. He said, a few minutes later, the owner of the house called him that. The contractor has called him that there's a problem. The house can collapse and... He said, you should relax. You go and see it. So he said when he went to the site, he called the owner of the building and told him that, well, they have to correct it. He told me, he said, Asama, he paid me more to correct it than what I would have charged him to do the thing from scratch. He said, he paid me more to correct it than what I would have done from the scratch. So he was telling me that don't bypass an architect when you are building. He said, he paid me more to correct the problem than he would have paid me from the scratch. He said, but of course, me, I ate the money. I collect it. I'm saying that you will pay a high price. Even if you get your foundation correct, you pay a high price for it. Now that you're here, this message is a recap I'm doing. The message has already been preached. This one, I'm just doing recap. So, you see, it's coming to you for the second time. Be careful. It's coming to you. Well, some of you, maybe it's your first time. But for a lot of you, it's your second time. Be careful. I'm saying, take your time, and craft these foundations in your life. In your life. And in your ministry. Because some of you think that the things we say here, they are jargons for the ministry. Into wo bo bra. When you come here, then you come and look at the ministry. There's no division. No. Can you imagine that Satan arrives? So I'm only touching his ministry. I won't touch his life. What to be that? Again, maybe your intelligence is not very high. That Satan has arrived in your life only to touch your ministry. No. In fact, your life is how he damages the ministry. Oh, yes. If he can strike your child with sickness, if he can strike you with unemployment, that's how he will destroy your church. That's how he will destroy your church. If he strikes your marriage with quarrels, that's how he will destroy your church. Destroy your ministry. The foundation of Jesus Christ, the foundation of the Word of God. If you are a shepherd, you are not into the Word of God. I chanced upon a message by Joyce Meyer yesterday also. And she said something. She said, many of the things that we are asked to do by God, we don't really want to do them. But part of obedience is doing what you really don't want to do. So part of obedience is doing what you really don't want to do. Part of obedience like me. My whole life, I didn't like school. I didn't like school at all. When I'm going to school, from primary to university. But I had to do it in obedience. And as I grew up, I understood that this thing is a necessary thing. I have to obey the instruction of my father to go to school. And whilst I'm there, I might as well do it very, very well. I understood, but if you give me an option... No, it's just that there were no options. So she said, part of obedience is doing what you really don't want to do. Because I can tell you that to wake up and pray is hard. That's why this dawn, you didn't wake up for flow. That's why on Saturday, we will chase you with phone calls, but you don't wake up. You don't wake up. But you are exchanging your life for some 2 hours of sleep. Again, you are not very intelligent. You are exchanging it for 2 hours of sleep. For 3 hours of sleep. You are very surprising to me. Like 4 to 6 sleeping that you do. You have exchanged your life for 4 to 6 sleeping. Because something in that 4 to 6 would have changed something in your life. Like IQ is low. I mean, I can't believe that you're making that. Like, you are taking a Mercedes Benz and exchanging it for, I don't know, a 1980 Toyota Corolla. What's wrong with you? Build the foundations now. Build the foundations. Build them now. Build them now. Build them now. Build them now. And I told you last week, don't assume that you have the foundation. Because the fact that you have a building doesn't mean that you have a foundation. It doesn't mean that you have a foundation. The dangerous thing about the foundation is that when you find out that you don't have a foundation, it will be when the building is collapsing. When it's being swept away. That's when you realize that suddenly, the same storm, your neighbor's house has not gone down, but yours has gone down. Then you see that there's a difference. It's like when your neighbor has solar, when there's light, or suddenly you see that there's light, they say, but is there a problem now? No, there's no problem in your house. Your neighbor is on a different level. Your neighbor is on a different level. If you have a next door neighbor, like it can be painful. But when you are in darkness, see that they are enjoying light. See that as you were all then, they were on a different level. But you will not know till the day light off comes. You will not know. You will not know till the day a problem comes. Then you see that somebody has a foundation. So he's progressing as if there's no problem. Then you are floundering. Build the foundations now, I'm telling you. Shepherds, build the foundations now. Build the foundations now. And there are other things that become fundamental, you know, the foundation of the word of God, and it is there. It says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How you get the fear of the Lord without the word of God? Without the word of God. So ask yourself that as you go through the whole week, there's no significant intake of the word of God. What are you going to make of your life? You are like a truck pusher in the Kunkuma market. Completely useless. You just wear a nice shirt and comes here. You are just waiting for storm clouds to gather. That's all. You are waiting for the day you marry and your wife has a child. Then you backslide. Your wife has a baby. You a husband, you are backslide because your wife has a baby. You are backsliding because your wife has had a baby. How can you do that? How can you do that? The men. Whoever thinketh he standeth, he should take heed lest he fall. Lest he fall. All those are talking about foundations. Oh. You think that you are standing. You think that you are also a house. Take heed. Take heed lest the house collapse. Wouldn't you share? You have nothing. Be careful. Yeah. Ask yourself, do you have verses? Verses. If I ask you to come and share for 10 minutes about faith, what will you say? Which verse will you use to open? And which verse will you use to close? Which messages on faith have you heard? That's how I say that. You'll be grinning sheepishly. Obey word. You are supposed to be a shepherd, though. Feeding others. I pity your sheep. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You know, one day I was talking to somebody very close to one of my first shepherds in the church. Actually, I was talking to his wife. And she told me how he had lost his job and been without a job for almost 2 years. And she said something to me. She said that I was very surprised at his response. She said, naturally, being a man without a job, he would be quiet in the house. But she said that he went so often to Mampong to pray that it surprised her. She said, every now and then, she said, I'm going to Mampong to pray. I'm going to Mampong to pray. I'm going to Mampong to pray. You could see that his response to a difficult situation was a response of spirituality, a response of turning to God, turning to the word of God, turning to prayer. Oh, yes. And I was not surprised when, after a while, he got an extremely good job. It's almost like, you see that kind of job that you get, and it's almost like God wants to make up for all the lost time. Yeah, more than make up. And the wife told me, she said that, look, in all the time he struggled with unemployment, he never changed. Never. She said, even he went to Mampo more when he was unemployed than when he was working. Yeah. Yeah. And I said, that's the person who I first encountered in the church. That was my first. That's the person who I first encountered. And I realized that he has a certain foundation. So in the midst of difficult times, his default response is to turn to the word of God, turn to prayer, turn to the Bible, turn to God. What is your default response? Some of your default response is to cry. When your problem is Susanna, should a Christian do such a thing? You have a problem. Your response is that you are crying. Instead of you to pray. Instead of you to look for a verse. Instead of you to turn to the word of God. Look for a message. Sometimes I have a need. I look for a message. I want to hear a message. I said, please, when did Dag Odmills preach about this one, please? I need something. You're a Bacenta leader trying to grow your Bacenta. You don't look for a message that Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo has preached. You're a chapel pastor. Your chapel's not growing. Go and scroll through. Go and scroll through. Scroll. Do you know scroll? Scroll through. A message. You will see something. Say, I need this one. You need percentage leadership. 10 journeys of mega church pastors. Industrialization. Let me enter that message. But you're sitting here as a knowledge free shepherd. Word free shepherd. Word free. Some of you, the ladies, all the knowledge you have is how to make banku for your husband. That one, you can explain to us technically how he likes the banku soft. How his banku shouldn't be hard after 20 minutes. So what you do to it so that after 20 minutes it's still soft. That's all you know. That's all you know. That's all you know. And then how to do the pepper with some small Maggi. Do you add Maggi to the pepper? You don't add Maggi to the pepper? Some people add Maggi to the pepper. I'm not illiterate though. Share. Oh yeah, oh, Mfisa. They add onga to the pepper. Ufisa, you don't know what's up. Share. This is awkward. I know what I'm talking about. Yes. Yeah. People do it. How to add this, that. Oh, even that knowledge, guy, you don't have. How to add this. That's when I was talking to somebody, they said the green pepper, they add oil and then they fry it. So I said, the green pepper to the fries. Mumma, they're in your natural. That's all the knowledge you have. But you don't have knowledge about the word of God. What you should do in difficult times. I mean, when I heard about my shepherd, I realized that this is my shepherd. He knows about Hannah. He knows about Hannah. He knows about going to God in a place continually with his request persistently until God answers him. He understands such a thing. He understands such a thing. He has foundations. Foundations. People who have foundations, they don't move. They don't move. No. No matter what happens, they will be in the second row, smiling, receiving the message powerfully. Some of you are shepherds. If we do a green and red of your church attenders, not your members, you've been a Bacenta leader for 4 years. If we do a red and green of your church attendance this year, we'll be horrified. You are like, OEB light, OEB ECG. Today is off, tomorrow is on. Today is off, tomorrow is on. Today is off, tomorrow is on. Yeah. You, a Bacenta leader, as your CEO is coming to church, he or she can't guarantee that you'll be in church. You're not stable. Then when they call, you have stupid excuses. You're not stable. All these things are because your foundation is missing. You're not stable. Like, we cannot count on you that you'll be in the church. There are people in the church service, like Shine says, there are people that all I need to do is turn in their direction, they'll be there. And they will, at a particular time, they will always be there, consistent, stable, no matter what happens. They will be there. There are people who in shepherds meetings, shepherds services, they are always there. If they are not there, it's a news item. But you. Because you're not immovable. You're always being moved by things. Work. We have worked before. We have worked before. I used to do a job where I was controlling a budget of millions of dollars. You don't know the type of pressure it brings. That was the first time in my life that I could wake up at night and I can't sleep again. Because me, when I sleep at night, I don't wake up. Yeah. I don't know. It's a gift God has given me. It's like a transatlantic flight. It's a gift God has given me. Yeah. Like, when I look at those of you who think you like sleep, you don't wake up for HCM and things. You like sleep? You don't like sleep more than me. Your sleep engines are not more than mine. No. I can't sleep. What's the time now? 9 minutes after. I can sleep from now to tomorrow 11 a.m. I may not get up from the bed. If I get up, it means that I'm pressed to pee. But even that one, I really wonder. Yeah. I may not even change my position. Oh no, I'm telling you. When I lie down, where I lay down, till 11 a.m. tomorrow. But you think that you know how to sleep. So it's like 4 a.m. on Saturday is too much for you. Oh, that's now. I said, you are exchanging your life for 2 hours of sleep. Exchanging your life for 2 hours of sleep. It's not an intelligent exchange. So you see how the way your life is. I'm talking about the foundation. I'm just giving you some small details to fill in last week's own. How important your foundations are. How dare you attempt to build without your foundation being proper? Why would you do that? And I've told you, I said, even if you try to correct it, the correction will be painful. It will be expensive. It will cost you. Some of you, a lack of a foundation will cause you to bring up children who will bring you pain. You see, it affects everything. Or you don't seem to get that concept yet. It affects everything around you. Everything around you. Everything around you. Everything around you. Like, well, today you are moving this. Tomorrow you have done this. Your opinions change. Today you are not fine with this shepherd. Then you say that they should transfer you to another chapel. Then today you are not fine with this CEO. You have an attitude. So the CEO has come to request that they should move you to Lankwantana constituency. All these things. All this movement is because of a lack of a foundation. The one who has a foundation, he just digs in and he works. He digs in and he works. Anybody you bring to him, you receive him. And you keep working. Huh? One day we had a change of pastor. The first time we had a change of pastor in the church. And I was talking to a brother. The brother was saying that the new pastor, it seems as if he doesn't like you and I. Seems as if he doesn't like you and I. He was not trying to be some way, but he had a genuine concern. He said, because this and this and this one, he could have let us do it for him. He didn't let us do it for him. He let somebody else do it for him. And I told the brother, I said, listen, there's only one thing I know. There's only one thing I know. And that thing is that if ever this pastor is moved again to another church, when he is going, he will count you and I amongst the people who stood by him all the years that he spent here. That one, I know it for a fact. That's all I know. That I'm not moved. I'm not shaking. I'm not going to do it. I'm there. When he's going and he looks around at the people who worked with him, supported him, were there all the time, he will count me. That's all I'm interested in. That's what, there's nothing he will do that is anything to me. No, I'm here. Well, I'm here. You do with me as he wills. But me, my determination is that if he is ever moved, when he's going, God willing, I'll be one of the people he will point to, that this guy, he stood from the beginning to the end. That's what is important to me. Yeah. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Immovable. But immovable won't me cause only foundation. I will say, hey, some of you, offense moves you and things move you. Like we did Swollen Sunday. I just found out that the other CEO, they paid for all her buses and me, they didn't pay for my buses. But that's how it is. When your colleague is a young girl who is fair and has a nice face, you should expect discrimination. Oh! I've just remembered something funny. Today, one of my schoolmates, he put on our page, he said that, well, the way the world is going now, since men are identifying as women and women are identifying as men, he also wants to identify as a 10-year-old with no responsibilities. Then I said, you are right. So if your wife comes to demand chop money of you, it means she's refusing to accept your 10-year status. That is discrimination. It's against your human rights. It's identified as a 10-year-old with no responsibilities. Hey, the madness of the world. Identify as a man, then you see that now you'll be hot. But a 10-year-old shouldn't be touching a woman. So if you identify as a 10-year-old, then you shouldn't even come. A 10-year-old shouldn't be touching as a, shouldn't be touching a woman, yes. So if you are 10 years old, then that's that. At night you should be asleep. I told him, I said, me too, I'm identifying as a tall man. Anybody who describes me as short, I'll take it as discrimination. If you are mentioning the tall people and you don't add my name, I'll take it that you are discriminating against me. Human beings. Beautiful. Today, I'll just start small on another foundation. Because there's a fourth foundation. There's a fourth foundation. Come with me to the book of John, chapter 21. No, this one is a recap I'm doing. I'm recapping. The messages are there. Go and listen to them. January 2020. Go and listen to it. Na fire wa there. Now your IQ is a little low. It's low. No, what I'm saying here, I'm not even expressing it properly. I'm not, you know, you see, like, many of us should really be wealthy. But we have not paid attention to the words of our pastor. And I'm not only talking about obeying, I'm talking about receiving the words and believing the words. You see, it's the receiving and believing that now moves you to obey. Without receiving and believing first, you can't obey. Is the receiving and believing. That's why today I was happy that my wife reminded me, because you need such reminders to remind you that the pastor in your life, his words are not just a joke. You need such reminders. And I was happy with the details she gave me, because some of the details I didn't remember. Yeah. But it's important so that you know that when that pastor of yours speaks, you don't play with it. You don't play with it. Many of you, the problems in your homes, you should come and lie at Bishop's door and beg him, if only you could visit my house for 5 minutes, I really want to beg you. But you don't have that understanding. Yeah. You don't have that understanding. That if he comes to sit in your sitting room with you and your wife, smiles at you and drinks one glass of water, all the nonsense will stop. You don't have that understanding. You don't have that understanding. You don't have that understanding. One day I was going to do something. Somebody had taken my money. A family member. So I called my father. I said, the guy, I'm going to let them catch him tomorrow. Very close family member. And I was heated and I spoke. And after I spoke, my father's only response was to laugh. He laughed. He said, then he said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. The minute, sir. Yes, sir. For those of you who speak, he said, oh, don't do that. I'll speak to you. That was all. Then the call ended. When I ended the call, I asked myself that, but why have I backed down? I've called two policemen, CID, to go and catch the guy. Why would I back down with two sentences from my father? I'd called two CID people in Medina tomorrow, operation. So after that, why would I back down with a laugh and two sentences from my father? Because he has authority. He has authority. Has authority. The fight, the battles you are going through in your marriage, you need your pastor who has authority. Come and sit there and drink water and just chat about the color of your room. And then when he's going, he'll say that you are blessed. There'll be peace in this house. You see that that's all. The problems will stop. But you... the thing I'm saying is in my heart, see, I keep coming back to him because I worry for a lot of us. You are sitting here, you want to go to the university. We are in a country where going to the university is a major project. If only you could believe that if this man speaks into my life, something can happen. And that's the truth. So instead of you to find a way to be around him and provoke him to say something about schooling. So, Bishop, this week, I'm going to go and buy forms for university. So, wow.
when you buy the forms, bring it.
Now him say Edem Afa. Because when those forms come to him, whatever he will do with the forms, it's okay, it's over.
It's over. One nanti, sir, you have applied for 3 years continuous. Nobody's giving you admission. It still doesn't occur to you that your brain is not working well.
Let me go back to my message. You are dragging me off the message. When I see your face, you are dragging me off the message. No, I'm teaching you how to live with a pastor. Please. Teach you how to live with a pastor. Teach you how to live with a pastor. Teach you how. That's why I like what Bishop said some weeks ago. He said that the church is the agency through which prophecies will be fulfilled in your life. That's a feather. You know, we know that, oh, it's in the church that will prosper. Even some of you, you don't know. The words of your pastor. If you are here, you own a business. You are not jostling to let Bishop come and pass through small. I don't know what you are doing. But I can understand it. You see, you don't know the word of God. Because everything I'm saying is premised on the word of God. It's a knowledge of the word of God that will teach you that this is how you relate to your pastor. And this is how you take what your pastor has said. It's a lack of the word of God that is giving you that problem. Yeah. So you are walking around, for lack of knowledge, my people perish. But if you were reading your Bible, you had seen the examples. Example of a prophet who went to a woman and in her house, and then things happened and things. You would know that, when Bishop stands here and says that, I have members who have created a room in their house. Do you think that they have created a room for him just because they want him to come and pass through? They have created a room for him because they understand that his presence in their house causes something to change. And that knowing is not a revelation by angels. It's in the Bible. Kokan Bible. No one say crowd at all. So we are in the church. We are not progressing. Nothing is happening. Just every day we are suffering with problems. Pastor is sitting here. I don't even know. I should keep quiet so that the few who can enjoy will enjoy, and then the rest they should be there. But it's also not Christian. John 21. Let's continue. If you don't know how to receive prophetic words from your pastor, you'll be there. Life is hard, though. You want to go through life by your own strength alone. A lot of the young men, you don't know where you are going. You have come to a wall. Many of you come to a wall in your life. You know that, Charlie. Well, that's if you know. I'm assuming that you know. You should be able to see that where I'm standing here, if I don't get something supernatural, I'll be stuck for life. I need a supernatural force so I can run through a troop, so that I can scale a wall. When we are praying at 4 a.m., you are asleep in your mosquito infested room. If you are sleeping in AC, I don't know what you will do. A guy in your room should not be able to sleep more than 2 hours a night. What damn at 6 a.m.? If you are sleeping in air conditioning room, I don't know what you will do. What is wrong with you? Small flat mattress that you are sleeping on the floor. We can't wake you up for HCM. Then the day you get a king size bed in AC, dear, it's finished. Hey, woo. Sha. Oh, Kai. Oh, sha. Oh, no. You are some way. John 21, verse 15. If you want to prosper, look for your pastor. If you want to prosper, look for your pastor. I said, if you are doing business here, the only connection with God is that Bishop come and stand and say, bring an envelope, connect your business. Yeah, that one is good. But I wish you would have the intelligence to say that this man, if he can release some words into this business, it will change. That's my faith. That's why a man came to Jesus Christ and told Jesus that, you know, I think when they came, they said that you should come to the house. I don't need you to come to the house. Speak. No, he said, I don't. He said, they came and told you that I need you to come. I don't need you to come to the house. He said, me, I understand the principles. Commit to, in the physical, I stand somewhere and cause changes far away. I know that in the spirit, you can stand somewhere and cause changes far away. I know that. So please, all I need is to speak. If they came and told you that I wanted you to come there, they lied to you. I'm not operating at that level. All I want you to do is to say something. Speak. And I know that that's it to be done. You should be able to come and know that challenge. If Bishop can speak into my business, something will change. Share their business. You are hitting your head against the wall like people who don't have a pastor. With pride and lack of intelligence. John 21. My goodness. 17. 15. Okay, 15 is okay. So when they had died, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. 16. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Now, the fourth foundation I want to talk about is the foundation of the love of God, or the foundation of loving God, if you like. Foundation number four. Now, I've read this passage to you because in this passage, you will see Jesus Christ draw a clear link between love for him and caring for sheep, which is your work. Direct connection. There are many things we can say about the love of God and loving God, but this passage is the most relevant because here Christ draws a clear connection between loving God and feeding the sheep, caring for the sheep. And I need you to understand as a shepherd that there is a direct connection between the two. That when Jesus looks at you, when he wants to, you see, he told Peter, he said, do you love me? Peter said, I love you. He said, if you love me, then feed my sheep. Which means that if Jesus wants to check whether Peter loves him, what will he check? He will check his feeding of his sheep. And as a shepherd, loving God is a foundation you need. And I'm saying that love of God, let's not go, there are many directions you can go in. No, let's stick to this one. This is the Bible. That your love for God is directly connected to your feeding of the sheep. It's directly connected to your care of the sheep. He says, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. It's directly, you know, if you've ever taken care of a young animal, like a puppy. I once had a puppy who used to cry at 2 a.m. for milk. After I raised that dog, I vowed I'll never raise any dogs anymore. 2 a.m., he'll be crying for milk. He will squeal. And where he was sleeping was close to my father's bedroom. So if you don't wake up early, my mother will come and say, hey, your dog is making noise. 2 a.m. Yeah. When he was teething, he will make noise at 1 a.m. I have to go there, carry him, cuddle him, then put my hand in his mouth for him to chew on my hand. Aye, abrejai. After I raised that door, I said, me, never again. It's like I have a baby. No. But I'm just saying that to feed. Oh no, it was like a baby, because if I'm waking up at 2 a.m. to give milk, I'm like a mother who has just given birth. I'm a father on paternity leave. Love you. If you are a shepherd here, you marry, your wife gives birth, it causes you to backslide. You are a low down popcorn. Ah! your wife has given birth, now you are backsliding. We can't find you in the church. What is that? And if you are a woman and you are happy that your husband is falling away from shepherdory activities to be by your side as you are carrying a baby, you are not intelligent. You are not intelligent. Because you don't understand that the only thing that is holding that man is God and his closeness to God. So you allow him to backslide. But I'm saying that a shepherd, you are inextricably linked. Your love for God and the ministry, they're inextricably linked. And your love for God shows in the feeding of the sheep. It shows in the care. I was saying to you, the reason I went to all that, I was saying that in the second time he asks Peter, his response to him is, feed my lambs. A lamb is a baby. Young, tender. When you are feeding a lamb, it's different. It's totally different. You have to hold them. You have to. It's totally different. It's not the same as feeding sheep. It's not the same as feeding sheep. So some of the people you are over, some of them is your preaching in Bacenta service is okay. Some of them, the word you need to give them is to sit down with them somewhere after the Bacenta service, one-on-one, and quietly, gently, you are giving them some word for their life. They too, that's what they need. Just the raw preaching is not enough for them. Some are sheep, some are lambs. So to feed lambs, you need care, you need tenderness. This puppy I raised, Charlie, when you come and I had a feeding bottle, when you come and Charlie, I'm trying to put milk in this. Now I'm crying. What kind of suffering is this? Wake up at 2 a.m. to give milk. I couldn't believe it. So when I hear people say that, get a puppy, I say, puppy? You don't understand what you're talking about. Have you ever woken up at 2 a.m. to give milk before? What are you talking about? We can say, the dog is sick and this and that. I have to carry the dog to the vet. So to care, to feed lambs is not just throwing food at them. No. It's a tender holding of the lamb, making sure that the food is going down. A lamb is a baby. So you imagine how a woman feeds a baby. It's one of the things that shows that mothers, they have patience. I don't have patience to do that. See, so the baby, the guy, he was crying just 3 minutes ago. He has screamed, ah! Then when the mother organizes herself, stops what she's doing, she was cooking, washes her hands, arranges herself, comes to come and breastfeed. He puts his mouth. Just some 10 seconds, no. It's like, are you playing with me? It requires patience. But you see, I should be there patiently. She would do, then you see that after 5 minutes, it will stay in his mouth and he'll be sucking her. Like, so you were really hungry and you were spitting it out. Patience, tenderness. And that's how God sees that you love him. That's how Jesus sees that you love him. It's a pillar that you need as a shepherd. It's a foundation that you need to build. So when you hear me say that one of the foundations as a shepherd is loving God or the love of God, think straight away, feeding the sheep. It's here. The answer is there. We don't need to conjure it. Straight away, let your mind go to your care of your sheep. It's a sign of your love for God. It's a sign of your love for God. It's a sign of your love for God. This week, somebody sent me a text message. I don't know if it's here. So Kobe, thank you. The way you really, you cared for me. You were concerned about something. And I said, Opana, it's not in me, yo. It's God's love that is transmitting to me. If you leave me, you are talking about extreme selfishness. I'm thinking about myself. When you see those things, it means that God is at work through me. That's all. Why is God not working through you? Why is God not working through you? Where is the tender care for your sheep? I'm saying it's a foundation you need to have. That tender care for your sheep, it is equal to your love for God as a shepherd. He said, if you love me, then feed my sheep. So when I come and you are feeding my sheep, I know that this guy, he loves me. That's why one of the differences between a shepherd and a hireling is that this one, hirelings don't do that tender care, carefully caring for the sheep, protecting them. They don't do that one. They don't do that one. said, if you love me, if thou lovest me, care, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep with encouragement. Feed my sheep with love. Feed my sheep with affection. The dog I raised, I cared for it. It was for my sister. It was not even for me. So after a year, she came for her dog. When the dog had now grown and his back was getting deeper. Reuben, he understands the things I'm saying. When his back was now getting deeper, she came for her dog. One day I went to the house. About 3 years later, got to the gate, knocked on the gate. I had called her. When I knocked on the gate, she called me that she's coming. When she came to the gate, I noticed that the dog was sniffing under. So when she came to the gate, she said, I knew that it had to be you. I said, why? She said, because it is extremely strange for somebody to knock at the gate and for him to come to the gate and he's not barking. He's just sniffing under the gate. She said, nobody comes here and enters without us having to chain him. It was a big dog. So we have to chain him because he will bark. He's aggressive. So when I came in, he was just sniffing under the gate. I knew that it was you. And I said, why? He said, but because he still remembers you. So when I entered, he was jumping at me, you know, but unfortunately, he was trying to play games that were old games. We can't play those games now. God, he still wanted me to be putting my hand in his mouth. But when you look at the teeth, bro, we can't play those games anymore. The days when we used to play those games, they are long gone. Now, can't play those games anymore. Can't play those games. And I looked at his teeth. I said, Opana, I'm afraid of you. You remember me and you're happy. I'm afraid of you. Please. I told my sister, I beg you, go and chain him. I'm afraid of him. Yeah. Because the kind of care it had taken me to bring him up, he will not forget. If I'm waking up at 2 a.m. to give him milk, you'll not forget me. You'll not forget me. That's why if you ask the dog breeders, they'll tell you that when a dog attacks the one who is raising him, that dog is over, they kill it. That dog has gone crazy. Gone mad. Yeah. The same way that you too, when you rise up against your pastor who has fed you, who has brought you up. This one is just by the side. This one, I'm not charging. I'm just saying that when dogs rise up and attack the one who has raised them, fed them, cared for them, they are not giving to somebody, they are just killed. They just get a gun and they shoot them because that dog is completely out of control, is mad, demon, whatever. That's in the same way that you too, the pastor who has brought you up, cared for you, fed you, preached to you, solved your problem. When you rise up and you are attacking that pastor, sit down, this one is free. I want to close. So now ask yourself, what is the state of my love for God? It's a good question to ask. How will you know? Is the state of your care and your feeding of your sheep? Yeah. When you come to church on Sunday, you don't text your sheep again, until Saturday. Some of you, if we open your thread with your sheep, all your WhatsApp messages are about, tomorrow we are leaving at 7:30 a.m. Try not to believe. Some of you, even just courteousness in the message is not even there. Ultra message. Pine. Even as you have said, hello, John, Amewu. How are you doing? I trust that you are blessed and you are well. Even that one is not there. You just say, John. Please, I want you to know that tomorrow we are leaving at 7:30. No lateness will be tolerated. Useless shepherd. Useless shepherd. You don't love God. Because when you love God, you feel a feeling for his sheep. You feel a feeling for his sheep. Like it's a feeling you get for his sheep. Yes. Get a feeling. That's why you see a shepherd who, when the sheep has a problem, he feels the problem like the sheep. And that's Jesus Christ. He feels our problems. He feels the problems of the sheep. When the sheep is in a sad situation, he feels sad. When the sheep breaks through, he feels happy. Every time I attend the graduation of one of my sheep, or I see even their graduation photos, I become emotional.
Because something in me is dying to see them prosper. Will it not be nice for your sheep to also earn dollars? Even if they don't give you some to eat, it's not a good thing that they will not lack. Won't you be? Are you not happy? That's what will move you to pray that your sheep should get a good job. That your sheep should get a car. That's what will move you to ask your sheep that Charlie investing. Today I asked somebody, I said, this year we have to apply for the investi. What's happening? Are you going for the forms or not? And she said, oh, I'll check. I said, you better go and check on it. Now, what's that now? I relax. We are not joking. Well, I need the person to go to the investi and graduate. Then I'll know that you too, you have become a graduate. You can go on and make something of your life. I don't need anything from her. But something in me needs to see them doing well. I can't be around and people are just doing bussing to shine, bussing to his presence, bussing to redemption. And then we are looking at them, pastor leaders, God bless you. Let's go for a camp and we are fellowshipping with the Lord. And you can't care about their progress. Abba! Look at the people gathered here. If God helps us and 5 years' time or 10 years' time, obviously, the number will be bigger, but you are still here. You must be the ones with nice cars on the car park. It matters to us. It matters to Bishop. It matters to me. We were not just interested in the busing. That's why I say that as you are not interested in the words of your pastor, you are not intelligent. How will you prosper? In this Ghana, how will you buy a car? If you don't receive a prophetic word, how will you buy a car? Oh, I understand. You go and borrow. Low down. If you love me, this is Jesus Christ. He said, feed my sheep. Feed my lamb. If you love me, provide tender, loving care for my sheep that I have given to you. They matter to me. They mean a lot to me. Your measure, my measure of your love for me will be how you care for my sheep. I was a saved pastor. One of the measures of how you care about somebody is how you care for their children. Yes. Yes. That's when every parent knows it automatically. That's why parents take money and dash to teachers. Because any parent who sees a teacher who is showing love to their child, they are drawn to them. They are drawn to them. They are drawn to them. Drawn to them straight away. Straight away. One of the fastest ways to get into the good books of somebody is to care for their children. They will love you straight away. Oh yeah. And Jesus Christ said that these people, because why does he care so much about them? He died for them, for crying out loud. He spilled his blood on the cross. You know, one day I read a medical description of what must have happened to Christ on the cross. Bishop, a medical, they were describing the kind of nerves that would have been severed by where they put the nail. The nails in the foot, they were describing the kind of muscles and nerves that would have been pierced, severed. I mean, it's too much. Recently, one day, I showed my children a scene from The Passion of the Christ where they were whipping Jesus Christ. They couldn't watch it. They couldn't watch it. I said, when you hear that Christ died for you, this is what it means. They couldn't watch it. They couldn't watch it. So he did that for these people. That's why he's saying that if you really love me, the way I've suffered for these people, you will hold them dearly. You will hold them dearly. That will be the sign that you love me. That will be the sign that you love me. If you don't do that, you can't say that you don't love me. I've suffered. They've torn my flesh. They've pierced my body. I read the thing. You know, the Bible talks about water and blood came out of his side, and they were explaining that by virtue of the kind of physical punishment he had taken, water must have gathered somewhere, forgotten, somewhere around the lungs or something. They were explaining the scientific basis for that thing, based on the beatings and things he had received. So he has gone through all this suffering for the sake of this sheep. That's why he's saying that if you really love me, Charlie, you will look after the sheep. It's like a mother telling you that I suffered to bring forth this baby. If you really love me, you will treat this child tenderly. That's all Christ is saying. That's all Christ is saying. So you can't claim. So I'm ending. Listen, you cannot claim to love God
If you are here, you can't claim to love God, and your care of his sheep is not on point. It's not tender. You're not providing for them. You're not feeding them. You're not caring for them. No. You can't claim to love God. That's your standard. I love the two songs we use for worship. Those of you who were here. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer. Such a powerful song. My Savior art thou. If ever I love my Jesus. But you see, as we sang the song, I asked myself that, how many of us can truly say, my Jesus, I love you? And I'm saying, it's not your word too. It's your feeding of the sheep. The song is powerful, and you should sing it every morning. But I'm saying that it is really your feeding of his sheep. It's not me who say, he's saying it there in John 21. He said, if you love me, then feed my sheep. And I'm saying to you today that if you love God, you feed sheep. And it's one of the foundations. So when there's no feeding of sheep in your life, there's no tender care of the sheep in your life, that foundation is missing. It's missing. No wonder you are being moved around. No wonder you are sinking. The foundation of caring for it. Ask yourself, when was the last time you sat down and intimately went into your sheep's life? When was the last time? When was the last time you asked a sheep to go to the hospital and call you as soon as they get there? You are waiting. When was the last time? You don't even care. You don't even know when they fall sick. You don't know when they fall sick. But I know shepherds who take a cake to the mother of their sheep on her birthday. And your sheep, the mother, they take a cake. That's how people have people. One day I was in my office when my wife called me. In fact, she didn't call me first. I think my mother called me first. And you know, sometimes the mothers, they talk a lot. So when they call, you want to dodge the call and call later. It was late afternoon. So I picked the call. When I picked the call, my mother said, your bishop has just left here. I said, which bishop? So Bishop Ogo, he just came here. I said, ah, how? So he came with they came to. I said, ah, why is there a problem? So he said he came to visit me. He came to visit you. Ah, he came to visit you. Oh yeah, he came to visit me. I was so surprised. You see, that's why I told you that I can tell you stories till morning about Bishop. I can tell you stories. Some of the stories, I don't want to share them. I can tell you stories till morning. Yeah. And many of you have such stories of care. Tender, mind-blowing care. Yeah. But now we'll come to it next week. Those of you who have received love, and you decided that you will not pass it on, we'll come to it next week. But I'm saying that you can't claim to love God and not feed the sheep. Dear Shepherd of the Living Bread Cathedral, tonight I'm telling you that a major foundation you need to have is the foundation of the love of God. And that love of God must be shown to your sheep. You must be expressing it to your sheep. Otherwise, your foundation is not working. It's not working. Feed my sheep. This example I'm giving about raising the dog, you know, look, the things I did for that dog. I used to take him to a vet at 37, military vet hospital at 37. Yeah. Then I would buy special mix. One day when I took him to the vet, I asked the vet that he's eating, I don't know, then the vet said that he would give me a certain mixture. Anything he's eating, I should put it inside. Give me a mixture of some type of fish powder blended with some vitamins and some things. So any food I give him, I'll add that one. Oh, I cared for the dog. Little wonder that when he saw me 3 years later, he hadn't forgotten me. Yeah, he had not seen me, but just standing behind the gate, he could smell that. I know the scent of this guy. 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 I know this guy at the gate. I know this smell. My sister said that there's no point. She said that she doesn't open the gate for a visitor to enter without first chaining him. You can't. You can't. It's a big dog. He was a cross between an Alsatian and a Rottweiler. If you see the size of his head. Big dog. Said she does, because the level of aggression, the barking, and she's even afraid that he'll do something to the person. So she said that the first thing she does is to chain the dog before she comes to come and open the gate. So she said that when I saw him not barking, just sniffing under the gate, I said, that's very strange. Then I realized that it is you. It is you. Feed the sheep. Care for the sheep. This is how Christ will know. So when you stand here and say, my Savior, it's how, and your nice words, oh, but there must be cake before this icing will come on it. And the cake before this icing, as you are singing the song, Christ is asking, why have you not fed my sheep? You say you love me, why have you not fed my lambs? There are lambs under you who need care. They have not been cared for, yet you say that you love me. How can you say that you love me? You don't love me. You don't love me. He said, if you love me, then feed my sheep. If you, shepherd, if you love me, then my standard is that you must be feeding my sheep. You must be feeding my sheep. You must be feeding my sheep. And I'm telling you tonight, go back and build that pillar of the love of God. The pillar of loving God. You better go and build it. And I'm saying, it means for you, it means feeding the sheep. Go and feed the sheep. Go and care for the sheep. Go and make their problems your own. The deception of Satan is to think that caring for the sheep and caring for their problems is tedious. It can be tedious, but it is such an exciting thing that you become addicted to it. If you start caring for sheep and solving their problems, you will always be looking for problems to solve. You see that when that happens, then every now and then you're asking, you don't look happy, what's the problem? You don't look happy, what's the problem? Because you become addicted, because it gives you such a nice feeling to be caring for them. I'm telling you, try it and see. Just try it and see. Just try it and see. Just try it and see. No, I dare you to try it. Yeah, because many of you are afraid, and you believe that your life progresses when you pay attention to your life. I'm telling you today that your life will progress when you do what God is asking you to do, which is to feed his sheep. Just to feed his sheep. Oh, involve pastor. Oh, you saw pastor prophetic word. Now, sorry, you think that it is your selfishness that will cause you to advance. No. If you love me, feed my lambs. Take young Christians, give them tender care, give them loving care, give them the milk of the word, care for them, brush their coats, apply oil. Ward off flies, guard them. When you come up against a stream, lift them and carry them across the sheep. Feed my lambs, care for my lambs. That is how Christ will know that you love him. Lift up your hands. Let's close tonight. Lift up your hands. My Savior, Ada, if ever I love you, my Jesus is my gracious, my gracious Redeemer. I want you to lift up your hands and sing the song. This is the time to love the Lord by caring for his sheep. This is the time to love the Lord by feeding his sheep. By feeding his sheep. This is the time to care for them. This is the time. This is the time. Jesus is asking you now, in this moment, to feed his sheep, to feed his lambs, to show them tender loving care. My gracious Redeemer. My Savior. Yeah.
truth, now is the time that you call us to love the sheep, to care for the sheep, to feed the sheep as a sign of our love to you, as the sign of our love to you, love for you. Tonight, Lord, we come before you. We ask for your help, oh God. Without you, we can do nothing. Without you, we can do nothing. Without you, we cannot love. Without you, we cannot care. Without you, we cannot feed. Without you, we are just selfish, evil individuals, Lord. Help us tonight, Lord. Help us, Lord. Make us tender shepherds, feeding the sheep, feeding the lambs, carrying them, caring for them, gathering them, leading them, taking them on to heights in life, drawing them closer to you, guiding them with love and tender care, because you shed your blood for them. Father, tonight we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why don't you clap your hands and let's welcome Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogoh.
Let's clap our hands. Clap your hands. God bless you, Bishop Kobe. Keep clapping your hands. Let's appreciate God's gift. And what a beautiful evening. I want to say to you that one of the ways civilizations advance is through inventions. Period. Inventions, the telephone, the aeroplane. The wristwatch. The iPad. The car. They used to move with horses. Only horses. That's why John Wesley had a bow leg. Because if you ride a horse for all your life, your legs... Then somebody made a car. He did something, an engine, something, and the thing was moving. And the invention of the car moved the civilization to the next level. And on and on. I want to tell you that Arise Service is an invention. In this church. That's all I can tell you. It's an invention. Arise Service is an invention. It's an invention. And I want to tell you, if you are sitting down now, you can sit down. But look forward. Look forward to coming here on Tuesday evening. Let it be a fixture in your weekly activities. Look forward to coming here. And look forward to coming with your leaders, with some special members. Look forward to it. And I'm very happy with this invention, because there's nobody here who is here with that mind that I am going to preach. Anyone who comes here knows that Bishop Kobe is the one preaching here. Because that's his service. And look at it. You have Bishop Rory. Are you here? Look at him. He's not a bishop in this branch. He's in Pediasi. If I was preaching and he was here as his convener, it would make sense to me. I can understand. But I don't understand why he'll be here wittingly, knowingly that Bishop Kobe is the one preaching. That should tell you that. See, if a bishop is sitting here knowing as he's leaving his house and coming, he knows that he's coming here to receive a word from Bishop Kobe, a bishop, then you who are here to pass mega church,
new believers,
yes, yeah, you should know that it's very important. It's look, I'm telling you, this evening, I didn't know about, I was just taken back to Collegon during our Tuesday evenings. So I'm expecting that there will be times that we will teach songs here. Just like Bishop Eddie used to do. It will be a time. I mean, let's make Arise Service a very important family gathering. You know, and don't attach it to filling a form or being called by a shepherd, but see it as one of the foundations of your ministry. Yes, it's very important, because this is an important, you see, for you to be a powerful Basenta leader, which will lead you one day you are going to become a branch pastor. Oh, rah, rah. I'm very certain that one day Bishop Kobe will build a cathedral for you to preach in.
Amen.
Yeah. That should have been his thing. Now, one of the... Am I allowed to say something? Or we should take the offer? I can say something.
Yeah.
One of the powerful foundations that will make you, Brother D, a very powerful pastor and teacher of the word. Like this evening, you've seen what we call in the Bible a heavenly gift.
Wow.
This is a heavenly gift. Here's an example. Like you see an evangelist, you have seen a prophet prophesying. This type of teaching, let me tell you, this type of teaching we've received this evening, it's not, you don't get this by soaking a message. It's a supernatural ability. It's a very, very, very anointed teaching. Yes. I'm going to give an instruction to the guys to cut off the first part before he starts preaching. Before he started the preaching, he was saying some things. He should cut all that off. And I want to put this message on my podcast directly. Yes. Yes. I've already taken my decisions. I'm telling you. You can listen to 1,000 messages and not hear a message like this. It's a gift. It's an anointing. It's not that like you were saying, oh, like he's repeating whatever. You should go and listen and repeat and see. Yeah. It's not that we have said a message and it's repeating. Yeah. I'm a teacher, and I know when somebody has entered into a certain level of teaching anointing. Yeah. You know, so I want to tell you, Brother D, I'm just telling you that if you want to be a good pastor one day, it's very important that you attend Arise for as long as God will give us breath. This service will be going on and on and on and on. Now, I want to tell you one reason why you must be here. Do you want to know why? It's important that you sit by Anna, who is sitting by Benji, unfortunately. tonight. Unfortunately. I mean, I want to tell you, Matthias, why it's so important that you choose Tuesday to come and sit by LP Emilia. Very important. Do you want to know one reason why you must come and sit here?
I want to know.
Or should postpone it and post it on there? Why you should sit by Anita? Look forward to coming to sit by. And I believe I can smell that somebody is going to get a beloved one Tuesday. Yeah. You just make a friend. And that person will not be a new girl. Oh, not a new girl who just came. But that particular Tuesday, a veil will be lifted up. But I'm just asking that whether you are interested in knowing why you should be sitting by Reverend Lester on a Tuesday. Do you want to know? Or actually, then sit down, let me show you. Because sitting by Reverend Lester is what empowers you to be a teacher. Uncle Francis, if you've not sat by Reverend Nyame, you have no power to teach. It's by sit. I should go deeper. Yeah. Oh, but this is deep. I thought I was giving a deep revelation. I should work it out. Yeah. Do you want to teach one day?
Yes.
Okay, sir. Do you want to be a powerful teacher? Or you just want to be in the system? You want to be a powerful teacher. You can't be a powerful teacher without sitting by Uncle Francis. Forget it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2. Watch it. Watch it. I'll tell you something. I'll show you. Can I show you something? Can I show you something? Can I show you the most powerful word? Yeah. One word, one word.
One word.
One word. Yes. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. The same. The same. The same. Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So there is something called a teaching anointing. You can teach without a teaching anointing. Now, one very important, powerful engine, source of oil, that if you don't sit by Chike on Tuesday evening, forget it, Brother Ricardo. You stand and teach in your church, but it's not powerful till you've sat by him. That word, the most powerful word in this is witnesses. Among, you see, you don't receive certain things alone. You must receive it as you are receiving it. You are receiving it with among many people. Because you can receive something alone, but the things you are to teach powerfully are the things you received when you were among many witnesses. Please color among that phrase, among many witnesses, not alone. When you were receiving it, you were one of many witnesses. That it is that word which is transferable. Is that word, is it the same? That is the word you received among many witnesses. It is that word you can commit. So any pastor who doesn't attend meetings and camps and conferences and church services and does not receive messages in the midst of people can never be a powerful teacher. Can never be a powerful teacher. You will teach, but that word will not be transmissible to generations, because this is a word which goes to four generations. You receive it and you give it to somebody. Yes, Paul gives to Timothy. There's a Paul who teaches a Timothy who hears it. So Timothy is second level. Paul is first level. Timothy is second level. Then Timothy commits it to faithful men, third level. And the faithful men also send it to others also, fourth level. There's a type of teaching that can break through four levels of generations. That word, you don't hear it alone. It should be a word you have heard among many witnesses. Very important. You take these three words out, you are an emasculated, atesticular, and effeminate leader without any power to transmit any genetic strength to the next generation. You ain't got no power, baby. That is why I'm asking Francis to sit. Make sure you are sitting by your brother. Sit by your sister. Be together. A meeting where 20 people have asked, gathered. Some are sleeping. I can see people who are here from their work clothes are here. I see Lady Pastor Sandra, Karen, say from, right from the office. She didn't, no branch, no. She's now going home, tired. Yes, come. Just let's sit together. Some of the services, Bishop Kobe will not teach. Maybe Enam will teach a song. It's husband and wife ministry. As I stand here, you have no idea the type of camps I've sat in, conferences I've sat in. I received among witnesses, Korean witnesses, Brazilian. I've sat in Brazil, yes, international, England, America, mention the country, France, Holland, Amsterdam, Germany. Start talking. I've sat in different countries, different atmospheres. We've driven for a camp in snow, white snow. With the car, it's not able to move. Then we get down, we push the car, so the car starts to move, and we go and sit in it. We've done. So when I'm teaching, I'm a teacher who is transmitting what he has received among many witnesses. Try and come around. So, the last thing I want you to do is to clap your hands for yourself for making it here. That's the final way that you came. You were tired, you came. You were whatever, you came. You were whatever, you came. You were hungry. Some of you are hungry. Yes, but just come. Sometimes when you come, expect a new song. Expect something. Oh, Bishop Eddie, God bless you. That's why he has a great ministry. We all when we remember Tuesday service, we remember Bishop Eddie. The worship songs he would teach us, the times, the anointings, and it's needed. It's needed. And Thursday is also another fixture, because since you've come to sit among many witnesses, what you are teaching, you are now empowered, and you are now legally endowed and empowered to teach. Because on Tuesday, that's how we have become pastors. We speak in conferences all over the world. I mean, forget about the t-shirt I'm wearing, but I'm an international conference speaker. I can't lie to you. It's not everything you get by quiet time. There's a place for quiet time. There's a place for locking yourself. There's a place, don't get me wrong. But Tuesday is also one of the God-ordained engines for your ministry. Can you clap your hands? Can you clap your hands? Clap your hands. Yes.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the Word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Makiner Cathedral near Valley View University, Oyibi, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.